Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 643. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Not too much different from the other day that we talked. Same week. It's still the spring, or at least the tail end of winter. It is wet and cold, so there is not a whole lot of fun to be had currently.
Right.
And Ken and I were thinking about some disc golf possibly this weekend, but today's rain may put that from a quality of course standpoint at in a lot of trouble, even if we're not really supposed to be getting a whole lot of rain. So, yeah, not a whole lot of trouble to be gotten into around these parts. So we let the wrestlers get into trouble. And there was a whole lot of bloodbath trouble at the end of AEW Dynamite this week in the Lights Out match between Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, you do not see that often anymore. that was a hell of a piece of business. They went all out in that one, and honestly, it's my favorite match of the year so far. I love the hell out of it.
That was a really good match. I mean, it definitely exceeded expectations. When they put it in the main event slot, I was just like, well, interesting, but they are two of the better female wrestlers on the roster, in a roster that does seem to be showing signs of improvement. I mean, I'm not going to bump them up over NXT anytime soon.
I will certainly with this week.
maybe for a little bit
going forward, but we'll talk about that when we get to NXT. But absolutely. Go ahead.
I wouldn't say it, maybe match quality wise.
The Raquel Io match, I don't think is gonna be winning any match of the year awards.
Oh, okay. I see where you're getting that too. I guess I still like the overall quality of wrestlers on NXT, the division has more depth to it.
The NXT women's division has more depth to it than almost any division in wrestling. It's ridiculous, you know, what all they have in NXT there. But yeah, no. I mean, this was definitely the crowning moment of the ever improving AEW women's division, though. You know, Britt Baker has been, you know, champion or not, been the centerpiece of AEW's women's division, especially since her heel turn last year. She won the Wrestling Observer Newsletter Readers Award for Most Improved Wrestler in 2020. I absolutely 100% endorse that. That choice. Didn't maybe necessarily endorse all the choices I saw there, but that is one I would certainly sign off on. Last night was her, like, that was her moment. I mean Thunder Rosa is very obviously very, very good, but everything Britt Baker did was on point. It was one of the best individual performances I've seen in a long time that really stands out to me. Like, everything Britt Baker did was just, you know, pitch perfect for, you know.
And
I can't say enough good things.
And she really took the big spots too.
Oh yeah, she definitely did.
Did it end up being three spots in the tax? Or was it just two?
Two. Yeah, it was two. It was the power bomb and then being rolled into the tax.
Okay. I thought there was a third one. But yeah, she also seemed to be taking the bigger of the bumps. And Thunder Rosa seemed to be, delivering more of them. I was a little bit surprised, like you said, because of how good she's been. It's kind of an interesting thing. Like, I know that we have complained as of late about, you know, the Miz not getting his win over Shane McMahon in a grudge match. And I'm trying to think of what the other one was somewhat recently, that there was a grudge match, I think, also involving Shane McMahon. That Kevin Owens?
Kevin Owens got his win over Shane.
Someone else was in a big feud, in a personal feud that didn't end up getting the win, and the name is escaping me right now.
Yeah.
But it is kind of interesting. Like, I kind of wanted Britt Baker to win the match because of how well she's been doing, but it would have cost Thunder Rosa that you know, that type of win, you know, because Britt Baker did start the whole feud for pretty much no reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, I it's honestly, like, that's one of those ones where even though she took that loss, I end up going, you know what, in the long run, I think she's better for it. You know, I don't think this is really gonna harm her at all. Like, I think people saw what, because I agree with your assessment. Like, that was she was, like, her facials were on. She definitely, like, I didn't get a chance to watch it before everyone start. I unfortunately went on to Twitter today and at least caught some screen caps of it, and I did catch that one picture where it, I would say it's akin to the Steve Austin, Bret Hart match where Steve Austin has the crimson mask and is clawing for the ropes. Britt Baker had a similar moment with her crimson mask staring straight at the camera.
Oh yeah, she, the difference being she knew what she was doing in that moment. She was on. She, you know, and you know, she was smiling. She was, yeah. She knew what she was doing. She knew she was creating a moment. You know, she knew she was creating a meme. You know, she did that. She did that shit on purpose. her poise, you know, it is something to be, you know, once again commended. She, you know, once again, that was her match. You know, loss or not, and of course, it's a light. It's a non-sanctioned lights out match, so it doesn't count.
Yeah.
And as a heel, Britt Baker can absolutely play that up. Because she has, you know, at least one win, official win over Thunder Rosa.
Yeah. Yep. There's always, Rebel definitely had her, hands, all over that match. She can certainly be thrown under the bus if, Britt Baker, would so want to. Also a very time-honored heel tradition to blame the valet for the loss. So yeah, she has a lot of options to come out of this, smelling like roses, so to speak, even though she took the L. Yeah, that was a lot of fun, man. I actually am surprised. Most of the times when people have said they've been impressed with a match, and I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, I have generally agreed with them.
Yeah.
And this one, I did end up trying to stay off of Twitter after seeing that, you know, that meme moment from Britt Baker, to kind of shield myself and just watch it. When I got the chance, and I'm glad I did. Like, I'm glad I didn't get any more spoilery than a, you know, one picture.
Yeah, no. And of course, you know, Thunder Rosa had cut herself first, and you know, it was like a double juice women's match. That was definitely a first for free television. I mean, TNT has no problem allowing AEW to get a little crazy. And that is a competitive advantage, that not just over NXT, but over WWE as a whole. You can't do it every week, and you shouldn't do it every week. But having that card to play, it's definitely can be a difference maker for AEW in the right circumstance.
I was thinking that in general for the match or for the show, like there was a lot of beatdowns and they really seemed to like the violence end of things a little bit more than the WWE. Like, because even there was that beatdown of Jon Moxley and Eddie Kingston right before that, if I'm not mistaken.
Because of all the times Moxley's been beaten down for weeks and weeks by Kenny and the Good Brothers, that was overkill. Yeah, I was not a fan of how that played out at all.
Kenny Omega's character is just confusing.
I don't know what I'm saying. I mean, he's just a prick heel. I mean,
that's what they're going for, but he just won. Like, I know that the whole, you know, explosion went wrong, but he won the match, the death match against Moxley. Like, why does he still have a beef with him? Like, that's the part that I don't understand. Like, I don't completely get his motivation.
Well, last week, Mox and Kingston went after them first.
I guess I thought it was more of a Good Brothers situation. I guess you need to have Omega involved in that then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I talked myself out of it not making a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, no. I mean, I don't see this leading to another Kenny versus Mox title match. Omega versus Kingston. I could definitely see them going with at some time point in the near future. And that would be that could be a hell of a deal itself. The overly long beatdown again on Moxley and now Kingston. It was was the part that was really overkill, and the stuff with the Young Bucks just it didn't land with me. I mean,
that part what made it awkward was they were ready to just walk away.
Yeah, they were gonna leave. And Mox still had the chair around his neck.
Yeah, I'm sitting there going, you guys really aren't being the good guys. Like, you're kind of being good, but you also just left them to get beat down again. Like, what the hell, man? You gotta, like, help them.
Well, I know they're playing it, that they're conflicted, but, I mean, how much more evidence do they need that, you know, Kenny's a bad guy? And then, if they're not going to stand up against him, does that make them bad guys?
I don't know.
Young Bucks have terrible characters. And they're not good at playing them either.
When I thought that they had characters, they decided that they were good guys again. And it is failing spectacularly.
Yeah.
Like, when they were back kind of in the heel persona there for about, a month or month and a half, I was like, I can see things going in the right direction. Now that Dad gets beat down and we're supposed to be sympathetic, just not doing a good job, guys.
Yeah, and then, of course, you gotta have the interview segment earlier in the show where Callis is driving all of his insider references, the leg slapping shirt, and then the thing about how your dad got beat down, and then you didn't really care, actually mentioning the criticism that the Young Bucks weren't aggressive enough in their match against Jericho and MJF, and it's just like, that kind of stuff's just cringy.
They have done themselves no favors in writing their characters at all. Because of cringy stuff like that. Like, I guess that's one of those reasons that I don't really like Don Callis. Like, I understand that he's delivering things well, and he's kind of, that's the character he's supposed to be playing, but yeah, it's just, yeah.
You know, Don Callis has always had that, and it goes beyond, you know, kayfabe and storylines, this smugness to his delivery that, can you believe they're paying me to do this? You know, I don't have to take a bump. I don't have to do anything. And it's been there really since he was managing in the WWE in the late 90s. And when he was in ECW, and yeah, I there's times Callis can be good, and then there's times he can be, you know, genuinely insufferable in a not so good way.
Yeah, and I guess I just still, even if maybe I understand the psychology, I'm just really not behind him and Omega. Like, it's just, if it's not really landing for me at all. So yeah, that not a good way to do things, really. With that whole situation. But yeah, you were talking about the competitive advantage, I guess, and I'm trying to think of the other, because there was another kind of stiff match. No, it wasn't Cody and them. Oh no, there really wasn't another beatdown, so never mind. I was thinking that there was some other violent moment peppered in. But yeah, it is nice that they have a little more leeway in that department, I guess.
Yeah.
Like sometimes it might get overused, like the Moxley stuff, but the main event was good. But I guess we could start back. There really were not a whole lot of matches on the show here.
No, I mean there were matches, and it was a good show. But you know, outside of the main event and some moving forward with the Omega Young Bucks storyline, not too much crazy. I mean, MJF and his new group, the Pinnacle, or is it just Pinnacle, or is it the Pinnacle?
I'm not sure if there's a the or not. I'm gonna be honest here, because I think I just saw it earlier today is Pinnacle without a prefix. What would you call that? I'm not good at English.
What? To be, I mean, I am, but not like in the that kind of mechanics of English. What does prefix mean, actually?
Yep, I was good at a lot of things. That was not one of them. So, but yeah, Pinnacle. I guess that was kind of one of the other bigger storylines going on, and. Yeah, they love their factions over there, and I guess I'm glad that we have another unwieldy group to take on a second unwieldy group, and the Dark Order is still around, which is crazy large. So, you know, it always made sense. Like, it never made sense why MJF wanted to be in the Inner Circle, honestly, since he always seemed like a natural. Well, A, he seems like a natural not be with anyone, honestly. But if they're going to have it be more of a New Japan-y type of situation, it makes sense for them to surround MJF with his own faction.
Yeah, no. That part definitely makes sense. It's, you know, he did state from the beginning that he was either going to join an existing faction or create his own. You know, him suckering Chris Jericho in. You know, once again, that was that part was well done. I don't like Spears in the group. He really. It seems like he's only there because, of course, he's been linked to Tully since the start of AEW, pretty much. And, well, Inner Circle has five guys, so MJF has to have five guys.
Yeah. Yep. They've got to do something to reestablish him on the main part of TV.
I wish they would. They wouldn't need to, but okay. I guess you have to.
yeah. I mean, I have not been a terribly big fan, even when he kind of took off in WWE there for that half a minute. And yeah, I don't feel any better on him. And it's not like, and this is something I guess we could also discuss. It's not like I'm going to watch Elevation.
Oh no, never again for that one for me. Ugh. Why can't these shows? Okay, now you got two of these shows that go over 2 hours in length. Like, why? you could use the time from from Dark to Elevation and have 2 hour long shows that accomplish your objective now.
So
there's a lot of wrestlers on the, but it's not even like they're using the time to totally, you know, give, quote unquote, their young wrestlers a chance. I mean, they're pushing QT Marshall on the damn show. You know, they're.
Yeah, the fact that I was supposed to care about him on Dynamite tonight was something else. I was like, huh? Like, I still don't care about this guy, guys. Like, I don't. I'm not following the Dark storyline, and I just don't care about QT Marshall. Just not going to happen, people. Stop trying to go for it. So, yeah, Sean Spears is kind of in that category. just stop trying, guys. It's not worth it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if they do need to go for it, I mean, he needs something. Like, if they're going to try to put some level of credibility on him, they need to do something with him. and they just really haven't to this point. Like, I don't know if he's been injured or not. I can't say I've really. Well, I do feel like he's been on Dark.
Yeah. Oh, that was the thing about Elevation. They were interviewing. Who was it? What I think. Who the heck was it? I don't remember now. But whoever was facing Brandon Cutler on Dark Elevation. And they made a big deal to say that Brandon Cutler has won 9 out of his last 11 matches. Brandon Cutler. That's who they're promoting on and padding his win-loss record on using Dark and now Dark Elevation to pad his win-loss record. The Young Bucks, literal bag carrier.
Oh my gosh. Yep. Not really talking me into watching it. I almost did debate watching this initial outing, but again, it's just like, nah, guys, like I'm tapped. There are literally too many wrestling options now.
I mean, I know QT, you know, is the head trainer at the school. Cody owns or partially owns, if, you know, QT owns, you know, half of it, whatever, how much, you know, whatever their
situation is. Yeah.
Whatever that is. And they're guys who have a, you know, it's a cool thing for the, you know, for anyone training there to have a direct pipeline to end up on AEW, even on the Dark or Elevation shows. But, you know, one of the worst things to happen in modern wrestling is the idea that there should be competitive squash matches. You know who's going to win the match, but instead of it taking 5 minutes, it takes 10 minutes. Nobody looks good because the supposed person you're pushing took 10 minutes to beat an enhancement talent.
Yeah, I do feel like AEW is more guilty of doing that than the WWE, but and neither of them are saints either.
I mean, I know these kids need seasoning. They need to have matches, competitive matches, matches where they're on offense, matches where they bump and sell and all that. But it doesn't need to be recorded and put out and put out for the world to see. I know there's I know that there aren't as many independent shows running or anything like that, but you're not doing these people these kids any good by showing them on TV at in their most primitive form.
Yeah, because I mean, I would think that there's a little bit more of a level of expectation. Like, I think that's what you always need to kind of live with, because, like, I know that I'm kind of ready. I didn't listen to the podcast yet this week, but Absolute Intense Wrestling is finally returning in early April.
Yeah, they've got a bit of a complicated project they're working on. I still don't totally understand it. It's a, you know, they're basically doing an empty building shows. It'll be a weekly television series. Are you familiar with what they're doing at all?
No, like I said, I didn't do it. Because the only thing, they're like, they sent out an email today, and it just was a link to the podcast. And let's just say sometimes my coworkers make it hard to listen to podcasts. And I will leave it at that. So I and plus, because they haven't been putting out anything at all, they've dropped to the very end of my podcast list.
Yeah, no, that's totally understandable. They probably just should. They should have sent you something in writing via that email. You know, some kind of a newsletter.
Yeah, that's what
explain the concept.
That's what I was. I was hoping for something written, and
yeah,
then it also
needs something written, because even as John Thorne and Steve Guy were explaining it, it sounded really confusing how this whole thing is going to work. I know it's. It's you know, mostly almost all or maybe almost entirely the Cleveland guys in a tournament, and there's Biggins Bucks at stakes. They're going to have qualifying matches, and if you earn enough Biggins Bucks, you're going to get into a tournament, and then the winner of the tournament gets a shot at whatever title they want. But you can lose your money if you don't spend it in a certain amount of time. It sounds kind of wacky.
Well, I mean, it definitely sounds different. I'm not sure.
It definitely sounds different. We'll see. And it'll be every. I think they said every third. Well, wait. They said they're going to debut at WrestleMania week on IWTV, along with all the other stuff that's going to be on IWTV that week that's actually taking place in Tampa. That's one thing they definitely said, that they weren't going to Tampa. They were, you know, they've never gone to Tampa. John Thorne just went to Tampa over the weekend to visit Bill Alfonso. That's it. They have no business there. So then it'll be a weekly series every Tuesday on IWTV.
Yeah,
until they finish the tournament and are allowed to run shows at the Odeon in Cleveland again,
which really should be sooner rather than later, because I think we're at least up to 25% in Ohio for indoor facilities, and I don't know what the threshold they kind of feel like they need to start running shows. I would think at least 50%.
Yeah, probably at least 50%. They've already taped the beginning of the tournament or the qualifying matches, I should say.
Oh, okay.
The first few weeks, I think, of the 3 or 4 weeks of this thing, or I think are already in the can, because they had to film it in advance to sell it to IWTV.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, as a pilot, I canceled my IWTV subscription a while back, because once again the dearth of wrestling from WWE and AEW does not exactly leave me with much more desire to watch that much more modern wrestling, at least.
Well, I've kept mine and have occasionally popped in there, but I guess to kind of bring it back to one of the points I was trying to get to is that when I'm watching AIW, like, I have a certain expectation for the quality of wrestling.
This is going to be the, you know, and, a lot of, you know, the Cleveland students and stuff like that. It's not going to be, it's certainly not going to be a full length, you know, AIW show with any of the, any of the people they bring in, the big indie names they bring in, or certainly anyone who was ever on, you know, WWE TV or anything like that. So yeah, no, this is just them getting, you know, getting back to, you know, they're getting back their feet wet, running shows and giving their talent work, you know, their local talent work.
Yeah, but I guess you were talking about, you know, them putting the people from Dark Elevation on tape. And I guess I'd almost be more likely to catch them on an indie show like AIW.
Yeah.
Than I would on Elevation, honestly. Like, it's just... Because I would definitely have more of an expectation for the quality of wrestling on Elevation than I would on AIW.
Yeah, yeah. Too. There is something to that, yeah. And once again, yes, you know, the school that's affiliated, not affiliated with AEW, technically, you know... The students need work, as I said, and they could. And once the world starts opening back up to independent wrestling shows more, they should, you know, certainly, you know, get more work. But once again, these AEW, you know, shoulder programming or, you know, supplemental programming is fine. It's, you know, but make them hour long shows, one feature match, the rest squashes. Pick the right people. Who don't necessarily get on Dynamite on a regular basis to pick up wins and show off their moveset and their character. It's not hard.
Well,
wrestling was built that way for 50 years before the Monday Night War changed how wrestling television was done.
Well, it was kind of crazy. Like, I was watching the ticker just showing the results this week on Dynamite. And I'm like, that's just a lot of results. Like, I was just watching it scroll by, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, that's a lot, man.
It's numbing. It's overwhelming. Yeah, no. I thought maybe Elevation would have been that hour-long show. Like, I was about a half hour into Elevation. I'm like, you know what? This show's kind of flown by. There's been about three or four matches on here already. I assume the main event is next. Nope. The show went another hour and a half.
Hey, yeah. Yep. Oh, man. Yeah, I don't want to tolerate that many programs. So, yeah, Elevation is definitely not going to be a thing for me.
No.
I mean, I guess I could keep an eye on it or something at work, but again, like, just there's a wrestling fatigue that sets in at some point. I need something else in my life.
Yeah.
So, I guess we did not have the fatigues for the NXT though.
I don't know. I'm not high on NXT as we head into this next 2-night takeover. I just like, you know, the Bayley versus Cross ain't doing it for me. Cross has been a rough one for me for a while, like, because it's just like, what is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be something supernatural? Or is he just a not that big guy in tights who, you know, just doesn't look all that impressive when you really stand him next to, you know, most of the roster? You know, I don't like how they're dressing Scarlett up too much and just feel once again, it's just, okay, is Scarlett supposed to be a witch? Literally, is she supposed to be a witch? Then why is she standing next to this guy who just wears black trunks and cuts, you know, normal bad guy wrestler promos? Why is he talking? Why isn't she talking? These are the questions I ask myself.
His character, to me, had a great direction until he won the championship.
Yeah.
And when they brought him back, I don't know exactly what happened, because it did seem like they brought him back as a heel, but then they had him feud with Santos Escobar, and everything went to hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, that whole thing was weird. Once again, the match was excellent. Their Anything Goes match was also excellent, but it didn't do anything for either guy, and it was, you know, yeah, I guess it got across the win and filled his time while Balor was still dealing with, you know, Colin O'Reilly. But yeah, there's something just not, you know, once again, they don't go all in with some of these characters.
Oh.
And, you know, either he's just kind of a kind of big guy, you know, jacked power wrestler, or he's supposed to be something mystical. And they're kind of going half-assed with both of them. You know, it's just not working for me. And Balor's been on a roll of great matches after great match after great match after great match. I'm not sure about this one. This will be a big test of Mr. Finn Balor.
Yeah, I guess I haven't really... I feel like I've liked Cross's matches. You know, I saw a handful of them when I was watching Impact there for a minute a year and a half ago at this point. Or is that getting to be 2 years ago? No, it's getting to be 2 years ago. Good gravy. But anyway, not long before he came over anyway. I guess I've liked his matches, but yeah, like the whole package that they have going on around him right now is just, it's confusing as all hell. I don't, like you said, like they're sending mixed messages and it's not doing him any favors.
Yeah.
And yeah, Scarlett, despite her attractiveness, is not really bringing anything to the role. You know, like, because she does talk for Cross sometimes, but it always seems like at the wrong time to me.
Yeah,
like, it almost seems like they need to reverse roles in some of these situations. But yeah, that is definitely not a good feud, really. I think that him and Balor can have a good match, but yeah, I'm not sure what they don't really have that much time for build up. So I guess it kind of is what it is, you know. It's going to be an odd feud, you know. They only have, what, 2 weeks now until TakeOver?
Yeah, three.
Or three.
They're only going to have two more episodes. Yeah, because...
Okay, yeah.
They're only going to have two more episodes, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, that's not a whole lot of time to get things straightened out. So it's likely going to be a rough ride for the next couple of weeks for their main championship. I am getting a continued chuckle out of Austin Theory and Dexter Lumis. I will admit,
yeah, that's all fine and good. I assume it's building to a Lumis versus Gargano match for the North American title at TakeOver, which should be fine, you know.
Yeah.
Giving Johnny Gargano a different type of opponent to wrestle, someone he's so he doesn't fall into his old habits and continues to. Really, Gargano has done a really good job at reinventing himself. I will give him that. Austin Theory has been entertaining in his role. They're doing what they can with what they got with Loomis. It entertains me enough.
Yeah, honestly, that guy has had more of a shelf life than I would have expected in the WWE. Good for him, you know. He is, and plus, I guess I have kind of enjoyed his matches. Like, I don't think he's really dogging it in the ring. Like, they haven't given him anything, you know, that he can't chew.
Yeah, I agree. It's been entertaining, yes.
So, there is, that one was, kind of fun. I can't really, as much as I like Breezango and, Legada del Fantasma, that match was just kind of there.
Yeah, just kind of there. Yeah, the NXT tag team stuff, not exactly hit me in that sweet spot at all. And of course, because we didn't even talk about it, they had, for absolutely no reason, Finn Balor and Karrion Kross are a tag team against the tag team champions in a non-title match, and Danny Burch gets injured again? Or was it Lord? Yeah, Burch was injured.
Yeah,
Burch
was
injured before. Yeah, this is his second injury in like a month and a half. It's like, oh. Well, I feel bad for that guy, especially for a match so pointless.
Yeah, that was an odd challenge for Scarlett to throw out. Like,
why would Finn agree? What would he have to gain?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just, yeah, that part's stupid. And I guess it soured me on the whole show. And I suppose that maybe I didn't exactly give the rest of the show the chance it deserved. Because I'm just like, this is just stupid.
I do to get to there's definitely some NXT ladies to talk about. I guess we can start with Dakota Kai and Zoe Stark, since that is, I think, chronologically first before the new addition to the women's roster. Is this one of those squash matches that went too long for you?
No, because they're actually trying to do something with Zoe Stark. That's different. If they're actually trying to do something with the other person in the immediate future, then that's fine. You know? And they've given Stark quite a bit against a number of people. She got too much against Io Shirai that one time, absolutely.
Yeah.
But you know, Dakota Kai is not Io Shirai. Dakota Kai can get her ass kicked and then win via chicanery, you know.
Until the end of time.
Until the end of time, basically. Yes. that was fine. You know, they're doing all the right stuff with Io Shirai and Raquel. I mean, it's nice that they're bringing back up that Raquel beat her in War Games back in December. and using that as Io's motivation. You know, because she had all these people who were coming after her week after week after week, and she, you know, she did mow through them one by one. So, you know, that part, that was effective. And now she's got to Raquel, which it's all well and good. You know, by the standards of your typical Io Shirai match, I not as excited about this one. Raquel's. Not that Raquel hasn't been good either. You know, she had those couple of really good matches with Rhea Ripley, and so maybe I'm underselling it a little bit. But it's you know, when this is the come down from Io versus Toni Storm, or this is the follow up to Io versus Toni Storm, it drops. I have lower anticipation for it.
Yeah, the quality of wrestling might not be quite as high. I'm still, I guess, a little bit surprised at how quickly the Toni Storm feud went by, honestly. I kind of expected a little more out of that situation with her and Io. It makes sense. Like, it was almost strange that Raquel Gonzalez hasn't gotten a chance until this juncture. To be honest with you, when I saw that pin in December, I'm like, oh, she's the next challenger, and then she wasn't the next challenger or the one after that.
No. that was what's funny about it. Yes. Yeah, but no. I remember that. You know, they did set up, you know, three separate different challengers for Io for Io to be, you know, over the last couple of months. No, I'm just fine. Once again, Io Shirai is excellent, and I'm sure. I'm sure she'll get a good match out of Raquel.
I mean, Raquel hasn't been bad per se. I don't know if she stood out either. You know, and it will be interesting. There aren't a whole lot of Rhea Ripley is maybe the only contestant that you know, the other wrestler that Io would have faced that's that much larger than her.
Yeah.
Because she hasn't really... I was trying to think if she had a few... Or if she had a match with Charlotte at some point.
Well, there was the triple threat match.
Okay.
There may have been a one-on-one match, actually. They may have done one-on-one with those two. But it was kind of a quickie thing. You know, Rhea Ripley got involved, and it was not...
Oh, yeah, it wasn't a full-on match. Yeah.
They were actually trying to have a classic match. Yeah. As opposed to an angle to set up another match. But yeah, I don't know. Again, it's fine. It's good. I'm probably underselling it.
And I guess the new arrival there in at the NXT ladies division would be Ciri, I believe is how they pronunciated it. Had you seen any of her work in Japan?
No, I have not. I have not at all, and I am completely unfamiliar with her.
Hey, yeah, it's definitely a blank. It did seem like she had some terrible timing. I guess she has been signed for almost a year, I believe, was the story that I was reading, and that they signed her right before the pandemic. And she had to finish up her obligations over there before coming over, and then has been over there ever since, I believe, was the story that I saw. So it'll be kind of interesting. They have had a very good track record with the Japanese wrestlers. So we will, at least on NXT, not necessarily on the main roster. But yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, this is definitely a packed women's division. So
yeah, the fact that they're even introducing new women at this point is just mind-boggling to me. Without letting more go to the to Raw or SmackDown.
I think Jeremy and I talked about it last week. We're both kind of... Like, Toni Storm doesn't have anything to do in NXT at this point. Like, if she's not going to be the one to beat Io Shirai, she does not need to be hanging around there anymore. But, of course, that puts her in about the same position as Rhea Ripley, where she's just going to be out of sight and out of mind for... you know, until post WrestleMania at this point, which is not necessarily the best place to be. I guess having the tag team division for the ladies does help ease the logjam a little bit.
Yeah, I think it can.
But it's still a pretty crowded field. Oh man, I don't really want to talk about LA Knight. How about you?
I do not.
Okie dokie. That was easy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I guess we did have the main event after that, and they're really, I don't really, oh, I guess we did have one beatdown, and one other, I guess it really wasn't a surprise appearance, although, it might be billed that way. Walter showed up this week on NXT.
Oh, yeah. Always good to see Walter. It was certainly one of the highlights of the show. it's good to see him. He's certainly a unique wrestler. The cornerstone of NXT UK, and you know, we haven't seen him in the US in well over a year. So once again, yeah, it was nice to see him. He's had some real as the kids say bangers over those empty arena NXT UK matches that he's had since they returned, and now he's here and looks to be feuding with Tommaso Ciampa, which it should be good. Maybe there's other people I would like to see Walter Russell. It seemed like before the pandemic, they were moving in the direction of Walter versus Finn Balor.
Oh, yes.
Now that I want to see. I certainly want to see that more than Finn Balor versus Karrion Kross. But it's keep saying it. It's good to have him back. It's good to see him. It was well done.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, he's another one where I guess I just haven't watched much of NXT UK. And there was one match that Jeremy, because he watches all the time, he told me to watch one of Walter's matches somewhat recently from an NXT TakeOver. And I can't think of what his opponent's name was at the time, but I never did get around to watching it. Because, yeah, NXT UK falls into that same territory that Dark falls into. Yep.
Oh, it does. Oh, it does unless there's a Walter match. Although now that damn Peacock doesn't even have the chapter settings anywhere that you can skip ahead. that you can skip ahead to the match you want without fast forwarding.
Yes, we're
going to be expected to pay the same amount of money for even less functionality on the new network. That's great. Or you could only pay the $4.99 and get ads.
I did get my email this week telling me that my subscription was ending at the end of this cycle, and that I needed to move over to Peacock. So you've actually tried the Peacock app then?
I have tried the Peacock app. It's there. I mean, it's there to scroll through, and there's some things they've opened up the paywall and have some things available for free to watch. I mean, it's horribly organized right now. They are going to have to really. It's so weird what they uploaded today. It just. Random old pay-per-views and old shows, and most of the original documentary type stuff, and recent Raws and SmackDown stuff like that. But it's organized poorly. The Peacock, platform and the WWE, it is not meant to house programming like. Like what WWE, like wrestling, really. It's just not. I mean, you have to. You can't search by year because that's what you would like to do. Because you.
Oh.
You like say for the WrestleManias. The WrestleMania. Every WrestleMania is listed as a season. Season 1 through 36.
Oh, come on, man.
Yeah, you either want to watch, see them all the WrestleManias in order, or you want to watch or you want to see all the pay-per-views from a specific year in order if you're going through it or, trying to watch things in order. Which is all people have ever really wanted from the network. Everything in order in the way that you're supposed to watch it. That's not happening. Well, it's...
Yeah, I just haven't tried that. I have the Peacock app, and we've had it for a while, honestly. But I just haven't been... I haven't had the chance to snoop around on the WWE portion of it as of right now. Because honestly, I was thinking I was probably going to watch Fastlane on the network. Because...
Yeah, that's I'm still paying for the network until April 4th. So I'm going to keep using the network. Well, we'll see where Peacock is in 3 weeks, or you know, two or what have you, or a couple, 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, right.
Maybe they've got things better organized. I'm interested to see how this live stream goes for Peacock. You know, they don't necessarily, you know, live streaming is not necessarily a thing that, you know, Peacock is known for.
Oh,
so we'll see how that goes. Now, I did try to watch something on Peacock. It was. You know, it was a good stream. It was a good of the on-demand stuff.
Uh-huh. Everything's in, what was there?
Oh
no, I meant from what was there. It streamed well.
Yeah, it streamed well. There was no lagginess or anything. You know, in what I tried to watch. So that part's fine. At least it's just getting everything back that was that's. On the regular network and organizing it properly. And making sure the live stream works so that it doesn't crap out during WrestleMania. Which is priority number one. I understand that's a greater priority than putting up WCW pay-per-views from 1989.
Oh, yep. Well, luckily, they do have this test pay-per-view, and hopefully, like you said, by the time WrestleMania rolls around, we will have a fully functioning Peacock app that is not having problems. So I guess that wraps it up for this week, then. I think it's time to talk about some beer. Today's beer, Sideswipe, Stranger Things, Dark Sour with Cherry... It is a marriage made in heaven for tastes. Dark sours really go well with that cherry flavor because there's kind of almost an inherent cherryness to it to start with. This is a fantastic one. I'm not sure where they're distributing to, honestly, but they are one of my favorite breweries in Columbus. So should anyone ever come here, especially post-pandemic, there will be a trip to Sideswipe Brewing in your future. So I will say that is the bell time beer of the show. I am at Frango11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us pretty much anywhere, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio. I think there are a few others that were on there. So, with that, I bid you a good evening, grandkids.
Later.